During a presidential campaign, the focus is mainly on the issues and personalities of the candidates, certainly this time around, the personalities of the candidates. But once the winning candidate is in office, part of the annual ritual is a release of their medical exam stating the status of their physical health and well-being. During this campaign season, there's been a growing call for Hillary Clinton and her campaign to release detailed medical records about her health before the November election. This call has been motivated by what's been observed of Hillary by others, combined with what's been stated directly about her health from both Hillary and Bill Clinton. Here to provide a detailed explanation of the health facts about Hillary Clinton is a medical specialist in neurotology and skull-based surgery. He's also a clinical associate professor at Tulane University. Dr. Gerard Giannoli, thanks for being here today, doctor.
Thanks for having me on your show, Chris.
And the doctor's practice, you can find out more about his work at earandbalance.net, earandbalance.net. And there's a couple of levels we can start with. Let's start with the more commonly known because of public discussion in a variety of fields, maybe more so in the NFL versus politics. But we know for a fact, and we've learned from Bill Clinton over time, that Hillary took a spill, suffered a concussion, and she took 6 months to recover. As far as a recovery time, when you hear 6 months, is that because of the age of the person who suffered the concussion, or does that make you believe that it was an above-average severe concussion?
Well, probably both. You know, for one, older patients do take longer to recover, but also, too, the severity of the concussion does lead to longer recovery times. For that matter, 6 months is a long time for recovery from a concussion, and it does imply that it was a pretty significant concussion. That's actually longer than most people. Most people, within a couple of months, things are back to normal. And the thing is, when you say someone had a concussion, you know, you don't really know what happened because the severity can go from minimal to where there's no consequences other than just your head hurts for 24 hours to very severe where the patient is incapacitated for the rest of their lives and everything in between. So the bottom line with Ms. Clinton is we don't really know the severity of it, and the only way we will know is if we know what her neurologic testing was. And I don't think former President Bill Clinton is a qualified person to state about her neurologic functioning.
No, but as far as a concussion is concerned, you said the word recovery. Does everything go back to where it was before the concussion after you suffer a concussion and go through a recovery period? Is there a complete recovery, or is there always going to be some residual damage because of the incident?
Oh, well, without a doubt, there's a lot of patients who have concussions and go back to completely normal functioning. But when you see someone that's taken 6 months to recover, that implies that there will be some residual. Now, how bad, that's hard to know.
Now, another one which is not talked about much but has been put out there publicly by the Clinton camp is she has a right transverse venous sinus thrombosis, which to probably everyone listening right now, I just spoke a foreign language, so give us a definition of what that is all about.
Well, you know, be honest with you, I think that's more significant than the concussion. You know, I've never had a chance to examine Mrs. Clinton, but that is a very serious problem, and that's not something that will go away. But the bottom line is there are two big veins that drain blood from the brain and bring it back to the heart. And in Mrs. Clinton's case, one of them completely clotted off and prevented blood from flowing back from the brain to the heart. So everything has to go through the other vein. And what you get is basically a traffic jam. And all the blood backs up, and you back up fluid inside the skull, and you get an increase in the pressure inside the skull, which puts increased pressure on the brain and the nerves coming out of the brain. And you can get a number of different manifestations from it. The most common, though, are headache and visual problems as well as balance problems. And one of the classic visual problems you can get is you can get pressure on one of the nerves going to the muscles that control eye movement and can lead to double vision. And I really suspect that the reason she had double vision after the time when she had her concussion was not due to the concussion, but due to the pressure inside of her head on that nerve. The problem is, even after you stabilize that clot, half of the patients, the clot is just completely blocks off that avenue for blood to go back from the brain, and they continue to have significant problems with pressure elevation. In the other half, they may get a little bit of regrowth of the vessel there to where they can get some blood going through it, but they still are plagued with problems with increased intracranial pressure the rest of their lives.
So that clot does not, I believe she's on blood thinners, or at least the suspicion is because the affliction would pretty much mandate blood thinners. That does not remove the clot, though. That's a permanent situation for all intents and purposes.
Right. You know, the Clinton camp described as, oh, she was placed on Coumadin to dissolve the clot. But Coumadin does not dissolve the clot. All it does is prevent the clot from getting bigger and propagating. And the big concern in a patient like this is if it propagates and goes to the other side and blocks the other vein, then you get a severe problem that can literally kill you. So that's the big concern. And the other concern going forward is to prevent future clots. Well, she's had 3 spontaneous blood clots, and that increases her chance of getting another one at some point in the future, which could be life-threatening in her case. So to preserve her life, that's the reason she's on Coumadin, and I don't think there's any doctor who would ever want to take her off of Coumadin because of that.
With Dr. Gerard Giannoli, who is a specialist in neurotology, skull-based surgery, clinical associate professor at Tulane University. Earimbalance.net is his website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. The conspiracy, quote-unquote, that has been out there is that Mrs. Clinton has had a stroke, which has been denied by Cam Clinton. But by medical definition, the situation you just described, by medical definition, is that in any way, shape, or form considered to be a stroke or stroke-like symptom?
Well, stroke is not a medical term. That's a layman's term. The medical term is cerebrovascular accident, and that's typically implied that one of the arteries going to the brain blocks off, or one of the arteries ruptures and hemorrhages. Now, that has not happened with Ms. Clinton, as far as I know. On the other hand, there's another way you can get a stroke if there's something that prevents the arterial blood from getting to parts of the brain and parts of the brain dies. In the case of someone who has a transverse venous sinus thrombosis like she has, if the pressure in the head gets too high to one particular area, it can prevent blood flow and can result in a stroke. But that's a real, real rare situation. To my knowledge, that has not happened in her case.
Given her chosen profession and a campaign, and let's assume that she does gain the Oval Office, would a day-to-day job where hours are long, stress is high, sleep is little, how much of a negative impact would that be, and how much would that further create the danger of some of the situations worsening within her health and her well-being?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things we have to speculate to figure out this, but I can tell you based on patients I know that have similar problems that the Clinton camp has described, is these folks have a much lower stamina tolerance, and they need to rest more. They have more trouble with concentration, short-term memory issues, focusing on things. And you have to wonder, given that Mrs. Clinton has not had any press conferences for over 250 days, that maybe that is an issue for her, and that's why she hasn't had those press conferences. I've also learned just yesterday that she wants to limit the debates and she wants to do them sitting down, which concerns me is that, you know, makes me wonder, well, maybe she can't stand up for that very long of a time period, which is a possibility.
Obviously, I'm a layperson, but I did some reading up on CVST, and one of the situations is obesity, and strictly visual, obviously, but we've seen her in the past few months increase her weight, quite frankly.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing is when you block the you know, we talked about the blood, the vein that got the thrombus in the brain. Well, the blood clots in the legs can cause some issues too, in that when you block one of the major vessels in the leg, you can sometimes damage the valves, and you can get venous insufficiency in the leg. And the result of that is the legs will swell. You'll get larger legs, and you know, in the popular lexicon, it's called cankles, you know. And these folks will have to wear support hose to kind of press the fluid back into the veins to try to get it to come up, and then get some really bad problems with their legs, too, and especially if they're standing up for very long. And that may be, the thought occurred to me, that'd be another issue that's going on with Ms. Clinton. Maybe she's having problems with venous insufficiency in her legs and having trouble with that. I don't know.
Well, we've all seen that photo of her being helped up that short stairway in front of a home, and it was dismissed as, well, the steps were slippery, but it was four wooden front porch steps, and she was holding on pretty strong to a person on each side of her. So
sure, sure. You know, Chris, at this point we have two candidates running for president that are nearly 70 years old. And let's face it, at that age, it's the rare person who doesn't have some kind of medical problem.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, I think it's only fair that they release not just some, you know, promo letter by the candidate's personal physician, but to release their medical records to let us know who are we electing president. If you think about it, with the advent of electronic medical records and the mandate of this by our federal government that all the doctors and hospitals have electronic medical records, your government has all of your health information. I think it's only fair that we as the people know the health information of who we're electing.
Well, I've been long saying that instead of seeing candidates' tax returns, I'd much rather see their health records for the past decade, just so we have a full idea for, given the job that they are asking us to hire them for, whether or not, you know, if you're going to go for a job interview for over-the-road truck driver, you'd have to show yourself to be of perfect health, because obviously you don't want someone blacking out driving a multi-ton vehicle with toxic chemicals on it.
Yeah, you hit my thoughts exactly. I think this is a much more important piece of information than their tax records. I mean, unless they're doing something illegal, you know, I'm almost don't even care what their tax records show.
We know they're rich. We don't need to know how rich.
Exactly. But as far as the health status, I think it's very important because, you know, you think about it. Are we electing Mrs. Clinton to be president, or are we electing her aides to be president?
Or Tim Kaine to be president.
Or Tim Kaine, absolutely. Absolutely. So well, that's a huge question for the American public to know. The other concern I have is this is something that the major media has been derelict in their duty for the American people. In fact, when I wrote the op-ed asking the question for Mrs. Clinton to release her medical records, I actually got some hate mail from some of the major news sources like New York Times, implying that I was stirring up a controversy just asking for information, which is what they should be doing.
And I'm certain I'm going to get the same either on Facebook or through email here. And speaking of Facebook, I do want to remind you listening that there is a link to a petition that I've started calling for the Clinton campaign to indeed release Mrs. Clinton's medical records for the reasons that we just stated here, not for political reasons, but just for informational purposes, that we know a full, complete story, and there is nothing of concern or nothing to hide. That should not be an issue for that rather simple action to be done. We've also linked to Dr. Giannoli's article, but you can see it at aapsonline.org and learn more about his practice and his areas of expertise at earandbalance.net. He is a medical specialist in neurotology, skull-based surgery, clinical associate professor at Tulane University. Dr. Gerard Giannoli, thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks, Chris. I enjoyed it.